This is Florida Matters. I'm Mark Schreiner. On July 1st, Stephen Correll marked his first anniversary as the president of the University of South Florida. Succeeding Judy Genshaf, the longest-serving president in USF history, Correll experienced what may have seemed like 20 years' worth of challenges and news in the space of just 12 months. This week, we're joined by President Correll via Microsoft Teams from his office to discuss his first year and also look forward to this next year at the helm of one of the Tampa Bay area's biggest employers, also one of the state's three preeminent universities. Stephen Correll, welcome to Florida Matters.
Thank you, Mark, for having me.
To start with, on July 1st of last year, you walked out of the Lipsey House on the Tampa campus. You first met with reporters and then faculty. Did you ever imagine that this is what your first year as USF president was going to be like?
Well, it's been an invigorating year, Mark. So it's been full of great accomplishments by the USF community and extraordinary resilience. We're the fastest rising university in the country on U.S. News and World Report rankings. And it's been a year of unanticipated developments. But we're managing through those very well. And again, the USF community is just showing extraordinary resilience.
Coming off of that idea, what do you think some of those biggest accomplishments of the first year have been?
In addition to the rankings, there's several things that I'm very proud of. One is that this year we ranked number one among the Florida State University System universities with respect to our performance-based funding metrics. So those, as you know, those metrics are very much based on student success, such as the quality of admissions of our students admitted, our ability to retain them, our ability to graduate them. And so we're just really very, very proud of our student success metrics. So that certainly has been something that we've been shining a spotlight on. This last year, we took in the strongest incoming freshman class in the history of the university in terms of standardized test scores and high school grade point average. We continue to be very successful in the development of intellectual property. So for the eighth consecutive year, we're in the top 10 among all American public universities for patents produced. So that reflects the spirit of innovation that we have on campus. Those are a few examples of things that we've accomplished. And maybe I'll just add one last one. We're very proud of our philanthropic activities this year. So we've raised the second highest annual total of funds raised in a fiscal year in the history of the university. And we did that despite COVID and despite essentially a financial recession. So I think it's a testament to the commitment of our alumni and our donors and the excitement about the direction that the university is going in.
Are there things that you didn't get accomplished that may have been on your first 12-month plan that you want to make a priority over the next 12 months?
Probably the main activity that was diminished a bit because of our attention on COVID was the completion of my listening tour. So I had been out and visiting academic and administrative units for the first several months of my tenure here. And I really love being out and talking to faculty and staff and students. And then, of course, earlier this calendar year, then we had to devote more attention to matters relating to COVID. And so I wasn't able to get quite as many of those listening visits done as I'd hoped.
Let's talk about one of the things that was a priority of your first year and actually coincided with your first anniversary, and that's the consolidation of the University of South Florida's accreditations, putting oversight and operations of all three campuses under one umbrella. State law said it had to be done by July 1st. It was, but it's far from over, correct? I mean, this is the plan, and now it's about executing.
Yes, that's right. That certainly was a unique feature of my first year, being tasked with merging these three separately accredited institutions into one singly accredited university. The dialogue has been great with faculty, staff, and students. Our faculty were incredibly supportive partners in the process. Our student government was very, very supportive. And the community just did amazing things to come together to initially meet the March 15th deadline, which was when we needed to submit the documentation about our plan. Now that we're beyond July 1st, of course, the single accreditation structure has been approved by our accreditor.
Let me kind of follow up, because this fits in not only with consolidation, but also with COVID-19 and financial issues. What does student enrollment look like for USF going forward? What effect is consolidation and COVID having on it?
Well, those are separable issues, Mark, and we continue to see great demand for the value of a degree from the University of South Florida. We've been very encouraged with that. Our deposits for incoming students in the autumn of this year have been up. Of course, they're now bouncing around a little bit as COVID developments unfold. But we think that consolidation actually makes the University of South Florida even more appealing for students, because it creates this permeability of the boundaries across our three campuses and opens up new opportunities for students to take courses that are offered at the other campuses, to take advantage of degree programs that have been emphasized in one of the other university campuses. And faculty interdisciplinary research is also being promoted by consolidation. So we think that consolidation actually strengthens the value proposition that we have to prospective students and to faculty and staff. You also asked about the effect of COVID, and again, we've been encouraged that there's still so much enthusiasm for enrolling at the University of South Florida among our current students, our returning students, as well as our prospective new students. What we're trying to do, Mark, is just keep at the forefront of all of our decision-making the health and safety of our students and our faculty and our staff. And we think that we're incredibly well-equipped to make thoughtful decisions about health, in part because of all the health-related resources that we have at the university. In USF Health, of course, we have the Orsani College of Medicine, the Taneja College of Pharmacy, College of Public Health, and College of Nursing. So we have this extraordinary repository of expertise about clinical approaches, treatments. We have great research strengths in terms of developing new innovations, in terms of treatment and managing these public health challenges. And it hasn't been just in USF Health, of course. There have been great contributions by the College of Engineering, College of Arts and Sciences, Mumaw College of Business, College of the Arts. So we really now see the advantage of a comprehensive university and all of those great intellectual resources that allow us to respond to a challenge like COVID in a way that many universities cannot.
I'll come back to the COVID subject in a moment, but just sticking with enrollment for one more second, a little bit of a devil's advocate question. The concern that some, particularly at USF St. Petersburg, USF Sarasota Manatee, have is that with consolidation, certain students might get left behind, not get into USF. Students from those communities whose grades may have been good enough before, but now with consolidation, you know, they may be, I don't want to say priced out, but they may be excluded. How is that being addressed going forward?
Well, that's already been addressed in the last year, Mark, and we've had unified admission standards across all three of our campuses. And in fact, Sarasota, for example, has done incredibly well in terms of the admission standards. And it's very important that we have unified admission standards for a preeminent research university. That allows us to deliver something special to our students. So we are research intensive, research led, and that actually means that we are developing the new discoveries and creative activities that are taught in our classrooms. Other universities that have less of a focus on research and innovation and creative activity mean that their faculty are essentially just distilling the knowledge created by faculty members in other universities. Well, that's not the case at the University of South Florida. We're actually developing these innovations that go straight into our classrooms and delivered by our faculty, many of whom are actually developing these new discoveries themselves. We think that creates a special environment for students on all three of our campuses. And we're very much focused on access for success. So we're not just focused on admitting students. We're focused on admitting them and shepherding them through their academic degree program to graduation to ensure that they succeed when they finish USF and they're out in the workforce or they're on to graduate school. And so we think we've got the right balance, the right equilibrium of our admission standards and the expectations that we have for our students once they're on campus to propel them and position them for success after they graduate.
You started talking there about some of the plans that USF has going forward for when classes resume in the fall with COVID-19. What concerns are you hearing from students, from parents, from faculty? How are those concerns being addressed?
We're leveraging the extraordinary resources in the university, and I've created a COVID-19 task force that is chaired by Dean Donna Peterson of the College of Public Health. And of course, she is a public health expert, and she has many faculty members who also provide their expertise. And so that combined with other expertise in the Morsani College of Medicine allows us to make very thoughtful decisions. And Mark, we have exactly the right plan for proceeding in the University of South Florida. We have what we call a contingency model. So we have phases that we move through, and we advance through those phases in a very evidence-based way. We are daily tracking public health data in the Tampa Bay region and all the counties of the Tampa Bay region and in Florida and around the country. And our model allows us to adjust and create provisions that really allow us to maximize health and safety of our faculty, staff, and students. Now, there are generic preparations that we're making that every university is, and that has to do with guidance about wearing face masks, cleaning and sanitation, hand washing, hand sanitizer, physical distancing, all of those basic hygiene activities that the Centers for Disease Control and other governmental entities are urging us to follow. So we're doing that. But also, in addition to that, we have these deep resources that we can draw upon here in the university and do things, for example, like environmental sampling. So we have technologies that allow us to take samples of physical surfaces in our facilities, whether they be countertops or doorknobs or restrooms, and we can sample for the presence of the virus in those facilities on those physical surfaces that allow us to anticipate where there might be activity of the virus in those facilities. Then that allows us to respond even more quickly and say that we need to take extra precautions in those facilities to protect our faculty, staff, and students. So we have capabilities like that that many other universities don't have.
And one of the concerns that we're hearing from students are particularly the ones who plan on living on campus in the fall. One is what kind of situations they're going to be facing. And two is the idea that in some cases where if they have the reservations but then are making cancellations, there's concerns about getting their money back. How are these issues being addressed?
Just remember, Mark, that last spring we did not close our residential facilities. And in fact, we have no intention of closing our facilities this coming autumn semester. Now, of course, we'll be guided and informed about public health issues. And if we were required to completely close them, we will. But remember, we had, even in the spring semester, we had several hundred students who remained in our residential facilities, some of whom were international students and really couldn't go out of the country to their original homes. We had other students who had challenges in terms of their other residential arrangements and needed to stay on campus. And so we're going to take that approach again. And we actually think that in many ways, this campus is going to be safer than many other residential settings like apartment complexes and other facilities, because we will have these standards that promote health and safety, and we can actually enforce them in a way on this campus than in a way that other off-campus facilities cannot. So we think that in many ways, being on campus may be one of the safer types of environments for our students and faculty and staff. So we, of course, thought deeply about these precautions and hopefully engaging and beginning some degree of in-person instruction in the autumn semester beginning on August 24th.
Yeah, one of the things just broke in the news in the last couple of days was the idea from the Trump administration of international students who are not taking in-person classes, not being allowed into the country. USF, pretty decent-sized international population of students. How is the university looking at this?
Well, we too just learned about that yesterday. So that's a concern of ours. We do have a substantial international student population. And so we really value our international students, and we're going to do whatever we can to ensure that they can continue their studies at the University of South Florida. These new developments are something that we're all just digesting, Mark, and we'll be doing whatever we can to make it possible for our international students to continue at USF.
Last question on the pandemic. Has there been a personal impact of COVID-19 on you? Do you know anyone who's tested positive? And how's your life changed in any way during the pandemic?
I don't actually personally know anyone in the Tampa Bay region that has tested positive. I feel fortunate that friends and others, colleagues have not been affected, although there certainly have been cases within the USF community. So we've been disclosing those cases in a very transparent way, and I'm deeply concerned about our faculty, staff, and students who have tested positive, and hoping all the best for them for a speedy recovery. In terms of my own experience, Mark, I continue to work from home. As you know, I live on campus. I live in Lipsey House, and so I'm talking to you today from my office here at home, and my wife and I mainly just stay in the house. We occasionally go out and get carry out food from the restaurant, or we go to the grocery store, but we generally stay pretty well separated from folks. I am in the office on some days just to take care of paperwork there and use the video recording facilities there as well. But we continue to work really night and day for the university and on our normal operational activities, as well as COVID and anything else that is coming. And we've all gotten accustomed to video conferencing, and we're just trying to stay healthy and use those good practices that are recommended for all of us. By the way, we did, as you know, host Vice President Pence the other day, and we did that at CAMLS, our medical simulation and training facility downtown. I was out of the house then and in a group, but of course, everybody was wearing a mask there and following the appropriate physical distancing policies and procedures. So we felt like that was a great success for us to host Vice President Pence and his COVID-19 task force members. And we were very pleased to do that, and also very happy that everybody was following the appropriate health practices there.
We're speaking to Stephen Correll, the president of the University of South Florida System, who just marked his first full year on the job on July 1st. President Correll, switching topics a little bit now, something that also just really kind of broke within the last couple of weeks at USF. Dozens and dozens of allegations on social media about sexual assault at USF, particularly involving the fraternity system on the Tampa campus. What has your response been to that?
Well, Mark, we take these reports and accusations very, very seriously, and we're troubled by these reports. We have a very well-developed unit within the university that intakes these reports and then aims to resolve these issues and also investigate them. If crimes have been committed, that information goes straight to our police and then on to law enforcement authorities. So we take this issue very, very seriously. As you know, over the last several months, we've been working on a series of what we call principles of community. And those principles affirm our commitment to mutual respect, communication, free expression, and social justice. And so we are very committed to those. And to the extent that there's any inappropriate behavior at our university among students or between faculty and students, then we are taking that very, very seriously and tackling those issues in a thoughtful way and using our existing structures to investigate these accusations. We're also, as a result of the dialogue that we're having, we are reflecting on and reviewing our structures and processes and making sure that we're doing a very good job of promptly responding to these reports and accusations. And so my team and I are working on a daily basis to ensure that we can investigate these reports and make sure that we have the kind of structures that enable us to be responsible stewards of the information that these folks are sharing with us.
A number of these accusations are about former students, people who may be involved still on campus or more likely have graduated and moved on. Is it the kind of thing where unless law enforcement is involved, there's no way of following up on that? Or how is the university handling maybe past experiences, so to speak?
Well, Mark, we have a record of all of these reports going back a few years. To the extent that we can possibly do so within the constraints of law and government policy, we're pursuing those reports and following up on those. And so just because they've happened in the past does not mean that we've disengaged from those. We are still looking into those, and to the extent that we can, we will pursue those reports and investigations. And it's important for us to do so because we learn a lot about where we can improve the university, where we can deliver additional training to students and faculty and staff to ensure that we're stamping out these examples of sexual assault. So we're learning a lot from the process and further strengthening our ability to be responsive to these kind of concerns.
Speaking about the idea of principles of community that you were talking about there, recently about 90 Black faculty members and staff sent you a letter with a long list of things they'd like to see happen at USF, pay disparities, better recruitment of Black employees. How is the university addressing these concerns?
So I've been incredibly impressed with the group of Black faculty and staff who I've been meeting with over the last few weeks in response to the letter that they wrote, which was extremely insightful and thoughtful and surfaced a number of very important issues that were of concern to them, such as ensuring pay equity, additional support for the recruitment, development, rewards, and retention of Black faculty and staff, creating a culture and a climate where they feel supported, where their voice is also welcomed. We have a great dialogue going on, and I'm just thrilled to be able to work with them and have these very productive dialogues and brainstorming about how we can improve the environment for our Black faculty and staff and our students. And so the dialogue has been very important, Mark, but it's not just about dialogue. So we are taking action. We'll be launching a new task force to analyze salary equity issues relating to possible racial or gender pay disparities. We're going to redouble our efforts to recruit and retain Black faculty, staff, and students. So we're working on multiple fronts here and doing our best to ensure that all members of the community have a meaningful sense of connectedness to the university and know that they're valued and feel like they've got professional development opportunities. And so we're on a great journey with our Black faculty and staff, and we're going to continue to make improvements to ensure that we really emphasize those principles of community that are so fundamental now to the fabric of the university.
Switching over to the budget, I spoke to Mark Walsh, USF's Executive Director of Government Relations, right after Governor DeSantis signed the budget. He said USF got about 99.9% of what it wanted. What are your thoughts on your first Florida state budget process?
I really enjoy engaging with our state officials, the legislature, the governor, and state agencies. I've been up to Tallahassee about 9 times since I arrived at USF. And so I think it's an important part of my role to engage them and tell them this amazingly compelling story that we have at the University of South Florida, our ability to be an engine of upward economic mobility for our students.
Combination question, looking back, looking forward. As you're trying to get situated, how has it been trying to negotiate the idea of crises and handling long-term plans at the same time? What's it like spinning those plates together?
The Mumaw College of Business recently offered an online course focusing on leadership in crisis situations. And I was a guest speaker in that class a couple of weeks ago. The theme that I emphasized was overlapping crises. So normally there's a certain rhythm of crises where one can prepare for crises, like a crisis like a hurricane or something. The episode happens and we recover. And that's not been our experience in the last year. We've had a compression of crises, so they've been coming at a very fast rate. It's challenged us, but we have been very resilient as a university, and we have managed to both keep our operational activities going in a very effective way. And yet, as you mentioned a minute ago, Mark, the importance of long-term strategic planning and to make sure that we're still moving towards our aspirations and our goals. We have not diminished or relaxed our aspirations. We continue to aspire to be a top 25 public university and eventual eligibility for membership in the Association of American Universities, which are the group of the top research universities in the country. So we are not reducing our aspirations one bit. The way that we pursue those and the pacing and the path and the tactics, those are adjusting in light of the fluidity of the situation we're in. But we're sticking to our aspirations and believe that we can reach them.
You kind of mentioned the answer there, but July 1st, 2021, we're sitting here on your second anniversary as University of South Florida president, hopefully in person as opposed to speaking to each other from our respective houses. A year from now, where is the University of South Florida? Where's President Stephen Correll?
Well, Mark, I'm just hoping for a little bit less fluidity, a little bit more stability in the environment that we have to operate in. But I hope that what our faculty, staff, students, and supporters, alumni will see is a university that has been able to navigate through a very challenging time and be steady and still focusing on student success, focusing on our research and innovation, and show that we've really been able to maintain our trajectory and our momentum despite all these challenges. So that's what I really hope we'll see in a year's time, Mark, is just evidence that the university has not compromised its standards and aspirations, but rather has been able to navigate through these choppy waters and yet still shown flexibility and commitment to our values. Those will not change. Our tactics and paths might change a little bit, but well, that's what I hope people will see a year from now.
Well, we'll have to see what the next 12 months hold. Stephen Correll, president of the University of South Florida, again, thank you so much for joining us on Florida Matters.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, that's it for today's show. You can read more from Stephen Correll on our webpage, wusfnews.org. Florida Matters is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Mark Schreiner. Thank you so much for listening.